Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. This episode is kind of like a combination of Bible on business and our review of Joyce Meyer's Battlefield of the Mind. We have two chapters left in the book. Today I'm going to be speaking on chapter 9, and then we have chapter 10, and that's it. If you would like to get the next book, it's a Christian leadership book. You could click the link in the show notes to go ahead and get that. So week after next is when we'll pick up with that book. Quick heads up as well. I'm thinking about taking off the month of December from recording episode. I think I will probably do the book reviews because it's less laborsome than like the studying that goes behind the Bible on business episodes. But I'm not sure yet. I will keep y'all posted. But go ahead and get the book because I'll definitely be doing those. And then we'll see how the main episode will work out. I'm thinking about grabbing four that have been the most popular this year and replaying those and then having the book reviews be live. So that way I could check in with y'all, still be here, but also take a little bit of a break to get some rest, spend extended time with my family and not have to do all the things that go into producing the podcast and recording it. So stay tuned for where I land on that. Quick church announcement. If you are in the DMV area and you're looking for a place to work, to shoot content, to meet, whatever, have events, whatever your needs are for a space, check out Anchored Media Studios for all of Q4, October through December. We're opening up our doors from 8 to 5 for people to come in and work and strategize and plan. We have free parking, snacks, coffee, tea, high-speed Wi-Fi, private meeting areas. We have microphones, lighting, whiteboards, literally everything that you need to create or to be productive, we have. And I would love for you to join us. I'll click the link in the show notes for you to purchase your day pass. The day passes start at just $25 for you to come in and get some work done and really get ahead on your 2025 goals. Okay, so as I was reading chapter 9 of Battlefield of the Mind, similar to last week. So last week, the last episode, we went over chapter 8, the wilderness mentality about shame. And I diverted from the book a bit because I felt like it was an opportunity to do a deeper dive into shame and to give some practical ways to recognize if that's something that you're dealing with so that you could submit that to the Lord. Similarly, with this wilderness mentality, she was talking all about jealousy. And specifically, the wilderness mentality is, why shouldn't I be jealous and envious when everybody else is better off than I am? And I thought that this was especially relevant to us as entrepreneurs, because when God has us on these journeys of doing business His way and we've totally submitted it all to Him, to where we've surrendered our timelines, we've surrendered our goals, we've surrendered our people, we've surrendered our finances, that journey is not easy. You go through a lot externally, as far as like your environment, your business processes, your money, your relationships. You go through a lot internally. You start second guessing yourself. You feel like you're behind. And then you start seeing other people who seemingly are prospering and they're not even doing business God's way. And that bothers you, understandably so. And I thought that it was important to expand upon what she's discussing here in this book, to take it a step further and discuss the business implications and, more importantly, give some strategy on how to overcome this wilderness mentality as it relates to business. So that's why I said this episode is kind of like a hybrid, because I saw a great opportunity for us to discuss this in a broader business context. So we'll start with just going through some of the things that she introduced. This was a chapter that I thought was pretty solid. You know, I've been a little critical of Miss Joyce the last couple of chapters, but this one was pretty solid. And but then we're going to go into some more practical things of how jealousy presents itself for entrepreneurs. So she started the chapter by introducing John 21, 21 through 22. And it says in the NIV version, when Peter saw him, referring to John, he asked the Lord, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." She says, in John 21, Jesus was conversing with Peter regarding the hardships that he would have to endure in order to serve and glorify him. As soon as Jesus said these things to him, Peter turned, saw John, and immediately asked Jesus what his will was for him. Peter wanted to make sure that if he were going to have to go through rough times ahead, so would John. Peter would be worried about the wrong things. In answer, Jesus politely told Peter to mind his own business. Minding other people's business will keep us in the wilderness. Jealousy, envy, and mentally comparing ourselves and our circumstances with others is a wilderness mentality. She provided a definition. She says, Vine's Expository Dictionary of Old and New Testament Words defines the Greek word translated envy as the feeling of displeasure produced by witnessing the prosperity of others. Jealousy is defined by Webster as feelings of envy, apprehension, or bitterness. I interpret this definition as being fearful of losing what you have to another, resentment of one's success arising from feelings of envy. And again, I believe that this can happen so easily, or even more so for us as entrepreneurs who are in this online space, because when we are operating our businesses online or marketing our businesses online, we are exposed to way more than just people in our general environment. We see people from all over the world. We see celebrities. We see people from various walks of life experiencing various levels of success. And simply because we have access to so much, I believe that it heightens the opportunity for the enemy to place envy and jealousy in our hearts. I remember when I first became a full-time entrepreneur. I had quit my job because I was clear that the Lord wanted me to do that. I was planning on leaving my job in like June of that year. I had like a 6 month or so exit plan, but I heard the Lord telling me that I needed to leave right then and there. And as years have gone by, what I realized is that the Lord wanted me to make that jump because that would have really been a leap of faith. Even though that was something that I wanted, something I had been working towards, my plan to leave in June was set that way because I was going to be able to save some money. I would have been able to finish my business coaching program. I would have been able to save up or accumulate some more leave at my job so I can get paid out that leave once I left. So I had these things in place. My lease was up at my apartment. I was going to move in with a relative to cut my expenses. Like, I had all of these things planned out, but the Lord wanted me to leave a lot sooner. And in my naivete at that time, I thought, oh, God is calling me to leave this job. So surely I'm about to be an overnight success. Like, I'm about to make six figures tomorrow. That was my warped perspective of the situation, which was very much so untrue. And during that time period where the Lord was humbling me, dealing with me, I had to really depend on him for everything because I didn't have the money that I needed. I moved in with my then boyfriend, now husband. I was just in a wilderness season myself. And during that time, as I'm doing a lot of things online, I had the podcast already. I'm building my personal brand online. I would get triggered so much because I'm like, God, I'm making all these big faith moves. I've made this covenant with you where I said, Lord, if you light a fire on the inside of me for you, I'm not turning back. I made that commitment to the Lord back then, and I have not turned back from that commitment since. I told him that day, Lord, I'm going to give you all of me, and I did. And I'm like, God, I've been one foot in and one foot out for as long as I can remember. I decide to pursue you and choose you and live for you with my whole heart, and this is what that amounted to? I'm like, I don't understand. Shouldn't this business be a testimony to what you will do when people say yes to you? This story ain't marketing well, Lord. Like, that was legitimately how I felt. And so because I was uncomfortable and confused about my current situation and frustrated because I wasn't seeing the success just yet that I wanted to see, as I'm looking and consuming content and scrolling online or having conversations with people, especially people who knew I quit my job. So everybody's waiting for me to tell them that it was worth it. And I really had no answers for them. I'll go to family functions or out with friends and they're like, so how's it going? How's business? And I'm just sitting there like, don't ask me nothing about business. And even to this day, I'm very reluctant to talk about business still based off of that season, because it just really impacted me so much and it hurt my ego so much, which further shows why it was necessary. I had to go through that. But I found myself being jealous and envious of other people who were achieving milestones. I wasn't able to do what the Bible says, where it tells us to rejoice with others. I couldn't do that because I was bitter. I was bitter with God. I was bitter with myself. And so I had to put things in place at that time to protect me from my own emotions, where I would unfollow, because back then you couldn't mute. I would unfollow pages, people, whether I knew them or didn't know them. Anything that triggered that envy and that jealousy in me, I would unfollow it. But me now in 2024, more spiritually mature, Tatum, I wouldn't give that advice because that was essentially me just exercising avoidant behavior. Me not looking at something that triggers that in me doesn't allow me to face and confront what my reaction was revealing about the condition of my heart. It just means I'm turning away from it and acting like it isn't there. And that's still not healthy. And so that's why I wanted us to use this book as the springboard to talk about jealousy and entrepreneurship and give you some practical tips so that you can face these things and surrender these things to the Lord and allow him to heal that part of your heart that's leaving you vulnerable to the enemy's tactics. Joyce says, I'm always encouraged that there is hope for me when I look at Jesus' disciples and realize that they struggled with many of the same things I do. In Luke 22, we find the disciples arguing over which one of them was the greatest. Jesus responded to them by saying that the greatest was actually the one who was willing to be considered the least, or the one who was willing to be a servant. Our Lord spent a great deal of his time trying to teach his disciples that life in the kingdom of God is usually the direct opposite of the ways of the world or the flesh. Jesus taught them things like, many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Rejoice with those who are blessed. Pray for your enemies and bless those who mistreat you. These are all scriptures. The world would say that this is foolishness, but Jesus said it is true power. Like, I want you to sit and imagine this for a second. You're in a wilderness season of your own, waiting to see the promises of the Lord manifest in your life and in your business. And you come across somebody that usually would trigger you. Maybe y'all started in business around the same time. Maybe they have fallen off spiritually. You got deeper in your word, but it seems like your success by the world standards is going down and theirs is rising up. And usually that will agitate you. That will make you upset with God. But instead, this time, it makes you want to pray for them. It makes you excited to see them winning. It makes you happy to see the goodness of the Lord in your life. It triggers an emotion in you to say, man, if the Lord did that for them, I know he's no respecter of person. So I know he's going to do that for me. So let me rejoice in advance. Let me praise him in advance. Let me worship him in advance because I know that the Lord is going to come through for me. Doesn't that feel and sound a lot better than anger, frustration, bitterness, jealousy, logging off, whole day ruined, avoiding things altogether? Doesn't that sound better? Doesn't that sound more empowered than the alternative? This is the power that the Lord wants us to live in, his power. This is how we should be operating, to where our joy is not dependent upon circumstances, where our ability to pray for and advocate for and champion and celebrate others is not only something that we're capable or willing to do when all is going well in our own life. I wish I had someone more spiritually mature to teach me that back when jealousy and envy captured me in those early days. Joy says, according to the world system, the best place to be is ahead of everyone else. Popular thinking will say that we should try to get on top no matter whom we have to hurt on the way up. But the Bible teaches us that there is no such thing as real peace until we are delivered from the need to compete with others. Even in what is supposed to be considered fun games, we often see competition get so out of balance that people end up arguing and hating one another rather than simply relaxing and having a good time together. I don't know about y'all, but I've seen this play out in many family functions, specifically those that involve a spades table. She says, naturally, human beings don't play games to lose. Everyone is going to do his best. But when a person cannot enjoy a game unless he is winning, he definitely has a problem, possibly a deep-rooted one that is causing other problems in many areas of his life. We should definitely do our best on the job. There is nothing wrong with wanting to do well in advance in our chosen profession. But I encourage you to remember that promotion for the believer comes from God and not from man. You and I don't need to play worldly games to get ahead. God will give us favor in him and with others if we do things his way. This episode is brought to you by Indeed. One of the most frustrating aspects of hiring is finding the right person. It takes a long time, and you really want to find the right person quickly so that you can start making the progress that you want to make on your business. If you're in a similar boat and you realize that your business needs to hire somebody yesterday and you want to know how you can find amazing candidates fast, easy, just use Indeed. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs helps you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so that you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. When I was hiring, the process was slow and overwhelming. I wish I had Indeed. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/blessed. Just go to Indeed.com/blessed right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/blessed. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by IXL. In my household, education is so important, and in summer, there's still no breaks. So whether your child is trying to catch up, stay sharp like we are, or get a head start for the fall, IXL can make learning a seamless part of the summer. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning, whether they're brushing up on math or diving into social studies. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade with content that's engaging, personalized, and yes, actually fun. It's the perfect tool to keep learning going without making it feel like school. I am so excited to get started with IXL. My son is getting ready to go to kindergarten, and one of the tools that his school uses is IXL for Learning. And so we are so excited to dive in this summer to prepare him for the upcoming year. This program will improve your kids' grades. It will work for any of your kids. You save time and you save money, so don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com. Visit IXL.com to get the most effective learning platform out there at the best price. For my professional people, this is very important because the corporate game, I've been out of corporate America for a long time, but I was able to learn very, very quickly the games that you need to play in order to get ahead, especially as a minority. But we don't have to play by the world's rules because our promotion comes from the Lord. With our businesses, we don't have to lie, cheat, steal, scam, do things behind other people's back in order to get ahead. We don't have to do any of that. If we just live the way that God has called us to live and trust in him, lean not into our own understanding, then the Lord will advance our businesses. He will elevate our position. He will make our name great. He will put our name in the mouths of people in high places. I've seen it happen so many times in my own professional journey, but He will do the exact same thing for you. The enemy wants to tempt us into doing business the world's way, but that's not how we operate as kingdom citizens. And we have to be very mindful and very diligent on resisting against that, because we're in the middle of, and it's understandable how we can get sucked in, because we're in the middle of a game that has rules, and to actively resist that while everybody else is playing according to those rules, it doesn't feel natural. It feels like you're going against the current, but we are. And it doesn't feel natural to our flesh, because our flesh wants to sin. But we have to stand firm in our standards as believers. We have to stand firm in our commitment to righteousness and our commitment to the way that the Lord has called us to live, and not let the enemy tempt us into compromising. Joy says, I found as I grew in knowledge of who I was in Christ and not in my works, that I gained freedom in not having to compare myself or anything I did with anyone else. The more I learned to trust God, the more freedom I enjoyed in these areas. I learned that my Heavenly Father loves me and will do for me whatever is best for me. What God does for you and for me may not be what He does for someone else. But we must remember what Jesus said to Peter. Don't be concerned about what I choose to do with someone else. You follow me. She says, a friend of mine was once given something as a gift from the Lord that I was believing for and had wanted for a long time. Now, I did not consider this friend to be nearly as spiritual as I, and so I became very jealous and envious when she excitedly came to my front door, sharing with me what God had done for her. Of course, in her presence, I pretended to be happy for her, but in my heart, I wasn't. When she left, attitudes rolled out of me that I never would have thought were in me. I actually resented God blessing her because I did not think she deserved it. After all, I stayed home, fasted and prayed while she ran out with her friends and had a good time. You see, I was a Pharisee, a religious snob, and did not even know it. She says, as long as the enemy can hide in our soul, he will always have a certain amount of control over us. But when God exposes him, we are on our way to freedom. If we put ourselves in God's hands and permit him to do quickly what he desires to do. God had, in fact, already purposed for my life that the ministry he would make me steward over was quite large and reached millions of people by radio and television, internet, seminars, books, and all forms of recorded messages. But he would not bring me into the fullness of it except to the degree that I grew up in him. She says, take account of your thoughts in this area. When you recognize wrong thought patterns beginning to flow in your mind, talk to yourself a little. Say to yourself, what good will it do me to be jealous of others? It won't get me blessed. God has an individual plan for each of us, and I am going to trust him to do the best thing for me. It isn't any of my business what he chooses to do for other people. Then deliberately and purposefully pray for them to be blessed even more. Something that came to mind as I was reading this was I was thinking about the scripture in Revelation that says that we are saved by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and how a lot of the things that could trigger jealousy in us are simply the testimonies of others, and how something that is so influential to the encouragement of a believer, the enemy perverts so that it instead causes angst and bitterness. And so I went back to the text. And so the scripture I'm referring to is Revelation 12:11. It says, they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Now, when it says they triumphed over him, they is referring to believers, us, who are in the midst of this spiritual warfare that's being described by John in Revelation. Him refers to Satan, the enemy, who is represented by the dragon that's in the earlier part of this chapter. But the verse in particular, it tells us how we as believers gain victory over Satan. The Lamb that is talking about, of course, is Jesus Christ, who we know is often called the Lamb of God in the New Testament. This reference here to his blood, it highlights that sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. His blood represents atonement, forgiveness, and redemption from sin. Victory over the enemy is not achieved through our own strength, but through what Christ has done for humanity, which is his sacrifice on the cross. This is the foundation of our triumph. The blood is a symbol of both the protection and the liberation, similar to how the blood of the lamb protected the Israelites in the first Passover in Exodus 12. Now, this part, and by the word of their testimony, refers to our witness as believers, how we testify to God's goodness, our faith in Jesus, and our personal experiences of God's power. The testimony is powerful because it makes known the truth of the gospel, it encourages others, and it shows that our life has been transformed by God's grace. And us being faithful in sharing our testimony reinforces our allegiance to Christ, even in the face of persecution or whatever we may be going through. Now, this scripture was important for me to bring up because, again, when I'm thinking about jealousy, my mind went to how it is something that could be used as a testimony. We could be looking at people's successes as a testimony to the goodness of God. Even if that person isn't necessarily seeking the Lord as they should, that can just also teach us about the grace of God, that in all the ways that we fall short, he still gives us his favor, that we are saved by grace and not by works. So even as we look at people who may be in the world and we see their accomplishments, we should be able to look at it from a place of wisdom and not from a place of jealousy. Because like I said, one, we could take from it that God's grace is sufficient, and that the same way that he gives them grace, and they're still blessed despite them not truly living for him, we can then use that to encourage us and increase our faith that none of us are worthy and he still loves us anyway. And also we could look at it from a place of wisdom because the enemy does provide opportunities as well. So as we look at other people's successes, we can also look at it and say, Lord, I pray that you keep them. Father, if this, whatever they have achieved is not of you, I pray, God, that you bring it to their realization and that you win their hearts over for the kingdom. So you can use it as an opportunity to pray for them, to intercede on their behalf, and also thank the Lord for his grace because they have, but for as long as they're living, they have an opportunity to repent and turn to him. So you see how the enemy takes something that could be used for discipleship, that could be used for encouragement, and causes it to put bitterness in our heart. I pray that this episode so far is providing you with a new perspective as you go throughout your walk and these temptations of jealousy comes in. And y'all know I'm a practical girl. I don't like to just talk about things and introduce concepts without giving you some type of formula or framework that you can apply when these temptations happen, because they're going to happen. And I want you to have something that you can easily recall and apply when jealousy and comparison creeps in on this journey. So when that temptation comes, I want you to surrender, examine, and encourage to combat that jealousy. The acronym, we could call it C. The first part, surrender, means acknowledge and submit that emotion to God. You have to face it. Don't be like me and avoid it, but you have to face it head on. This takes a little bit of emotional maturity, because you don't want then you facing that emotion for the enemy to then also use that to turn this into shame and condemnation. So I want you to go into this with this mindset of, this is so that I can get through this and be healed from this part of my heart that clearly needs healing, not for me to go and down this rabbit hole of shame and condemning myself. Okay. So again, surrender, acknowledge, and submit the emotion to God. Recognize what it is that you're feeling. And it doesn't have to be long. It can be simple. So let's say you're scrolling on Instagram and you see such and such just hit the six-figure mark on their business, or they just closed on a new property, or they just got pregnant, they just got married, whatever it is that you're in that in-between stage of seeing God's promise manifested, and then it happens for somebody else. Once that sting happens, that mood change, that emotion, that indicator in your body that there's a negative emotion there, stop and say, God, I feel jealousy creeping in. I'm happy for her. I'm happy for him. But this is just another reminder that it hasn't happened for me yet. and this doesn't feel good. And I want to rejoice with them, God, but I want to rejoice with them from a pure place, not from lip service, not just saying things or just my mind wanting to rejoice with them. I want to genuinely be happy in my heart. And I feel the enemy trying to use this. So God, I surrender it to you. Help me to change my perspective, because all I see is the announcement, but I don't know the process it took to this announcement. So help me to understand that everybody's journey is different, that your journey for me is different. So even though it seems like this came easily to them, allow me to change my perspective to know that their journey has its own set of difficulties. And let me understand and appreciate the path that you have me on, because it's for my best interest. So this is where you just be honest with God about how you feel and ask him to renew your mind. Ask him to replace the envy with instead a desire to see his hand at work. Ask him to help you focus, like Philippians 4:8 tells us, on what is true, what is noble, what is praiseworthy. Surrender, acknowledge him, submit your real feelings. You're human. It's okay to be human and have these real feelings, but we have a father who can handle it, and we should surrender it to him and ask him to change our perspective. The second thing I want you to do when jealousy presents itself is to examine your heart. Take a moment to reflect on why this situation, this post, this announcement has triggered some type of jealousy in you. Is it because you feel like you're missing out? Is it because you feel like this waiting season is too long? Is it because you're struggling to trust if obeying God is going to be worth it? Whatever it is, allow your reaction to reveal things in your heart. And if you can't put your finger on it, if you can't communicate it, ask the Lord to reveal it to you. Because sometimes we have these feelings and we don't know why they came up, and we have to investigate them. Remember, I told y'all a couple of weeks ago how when I was reading John's story, I was really like mad that he didn't live a better life. And my reaction revealed that there was something I needed to investigate. And I didn't know what it was in that moment, but I had to go and sit with the Lord and ask him to show me. And that's when he showed me that my value system was off in some ways. And as you examine your heart, you should also remind yourself of the truth. And you do that by reading your word and seeing how the Lord came through on every single one of his promises. You do that by recalling all of the ways in which the Lord has come through for you in your own life. You do that by remembering the testimonies of others that you have heard, how the Lord has come through on them. You do that by remembering that as Christian entrepreneurs, we don't play by the world standards, and that the world's rules and how they do things is not ours. The world's measure of success is not ours. And so just examine yourself to say, okay, is what I'm doing pleasing to the Lord? Yes. Okay. So then God, help me to be content in this. Help me to be content so that the success won't move me, and neither will the perceived failure. And then lastly, the last E is encourage. So that when you get that feeling, now you need to be encouraging to yourself and encouraging to them to overcome it. So pray for that person. Whoever or whatever made you feel jealous, pray for them and genuinely ask God's blessing over their life. And even if it doesn't feel genuine at first, keep praying. Keep praying until it does. Also, look for God's hand in the situation. It could be, man, God, the world is going through such economic hardship, and you chose to elevate this person in this way. Like, that's amazing. If you did that for them, then I can only imagine what you're going to do for me. And celebrate that person. Tell them congratulations. Send them some flowers or a message or something, and rejoice with them. The Bible tells us in Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice. So by us making sure our behaviors and our actions are in alignment with the word, us being humble enough to examine ourselves and submit it to the Lord, that is going to help us to overcome these temptations of the enemy and get through these real moments that will happen and these real feelings that will come on this journey. So that's your framework. C is the acronym. Surrender, meaning acknowledge and submit that emotion to the Lord. Examine, so reflect on what your feelings are revealing about you. And encourage, turn that emotion into something where you're seeking for a testimony and you're praying for somebody. So that's it for this podcast. Like I said, it's like a hybrid of Bible on Business with the book review. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.